Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our very own Braves insider and reporter and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, who also happens to be a fellow Libra. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you all very much.
You're welcome. Hope it was a good one yesterday, despite, you know, some other things that may have happened last night.
You know what Grant got for his birthday?
What?
An expanded strike zone from the home plate umpire of the Padres last night. What do you think about that, Grant? It wasn't Eric Gregg-esque, but it was getting there at times.
No, I was looking for the return policy on that. And you know what was also infuriating was the production values that were going on. If they want to do an umpire cam, that's fine. I understand we're innovating and we're doing stuff that maybe nobody asked for, like talking to players for 10 seconds in the dugout in the middle of a game where they tell you nothing. But putting all that aside, that umpire cam, going to it while the pitch is live and you can't even see what happens, I don't understand that at all. So, yeah, a lot of fun was had on the broadcast last night, as you can tell.
Grant, the Braves play, 27 emotional innings in a little over 24 hours. It kind of looked like it yesterday, like it caught up to them. One of the biggest takeaways I had, though, just watching, was the emotion it looked like that was draped across A.J. Smith-Shawver's face, and he's put in an impossible situation and tries to step up for this team. Obviously, a rough, rough go of it. What did you make of his start yesterday, and what was your biggest takeaway in terms of the energy of the team?
Yeah, I think that was referred to as emotional damage in the first inning. It's not the way that he wanted it to go. And as much as we can sit here and, hindsight the options of who could have started, there was no good plan B once Chris Sale became unavailable to this club. There just was not going to be a scenario where you looked at it and you thought, we don't have this guy that we really need, but we have this one or this one or this one. It was more of a making the best of a difficult situation. And I understood the A.J. Smith-Shawver call. If he is the guy that comes out there pumping 97, 98 and getting a lot of swing and miss with his secondaries, he was not that guy in the first couple of batters. And look, I'm not going to lay the loss at his feet because of an inning and a third and three runs. I mean, the offense was not able to solve Michael King. That is where the game was lost. If you don't score, you're really not going to have a chance to win. But really, you got to score more than the other guys. And the Braves just didn't take advantage of their opportunities. And that's been a song that we've sung way too many times in 2024 about the Braves. But while the A.J. Smith-Shawver move clearly didn't pay big dividends for the Braves, getting three relievers, not even your three top relievers, we're talking Aaron Bummer, Jesse Chavez, and Luke Jackson, to toss 6 2/3 innings of one-hit, one-run ball, they kept you in the game. This is another one where, offensively speaking, the Braves have been challenged all year long to try to find ways. They couldn't find the ways yesterday.
Grant, did Chris Sale even make the trip out? I know that was
no.
The question. Okay.
No. Well, no, he's going to stay back and get some work done because, he needs to get treatment, clearly, on the back to get that all straightened out as best they can because, left off the wild card roster, I expected that as soon as they said that he wasn't going to pitch on Monday. I think some fans may have hoped that, maybe it was an elaborate smokescreen to save Chris Sale for game one and he'll ride in on a big horse swinging a giant sword. Not happening, unfortunately. There were no swords in yesterday's game, except for the ones that the Braves unfortunately had to fall on. But you put that aside, if they can advance and Chris Sale feels like he can pitch, that would be a huge boost. There were times, Brian Snitker said, over the past really 5 to 7 days leading up to that Monday potential start that maybe he could have, but they also were cautious that he hadn't really, as they say, stepped on it and really pushed himself to see how long he might be able to last in a start. And I think that was ultimately what led Chris Sale to decide, if I can't be enough, the enough percentage of me to help the team win, I don't want to go out there and cause them to lose. And that was part of the calculus in making this decision, unfortunately.
Well, short of Jon Snow showing up tonight in Petco Park or whatever they call that stadium these days, Grant, what can Snit do to get this lineup going? Is there anything he can do? Move? I know he's tried everything under the sun this season, but could you kind of move some guys around? Maybe move Soler up, Harris down. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think we've talked about, and I don't know that it's as dire as like moving the deck chairs on the Titanic, but it's felt that way at times, because when this club starts to sink, it really doesn't have the wherewithal to be able to pull out of some of the issues that it's dealt with and find that big inning and put that crooked number on the board and kind of live on the momentum for a while. And some of this has a lot to do with the approach. The rest of it has to do with not the king in the north, but the king of the Padres, and that was Michael King yesterday, who had great strikeout stuff. And I talked about this one, Dukes and Bell. I've talked about this in some of the other shows I've done. I don't know that enough people talked about the season that Michael King had. There was a reason he got the ball in game one for the Padres, and he showed it last night with 12 punchouts over seven innings. The Braves did not draw a walk. They struck out 15 times. Infuriatingly enough, they out-hit the San Diego Padres 7-5, but three runs went on the board early, and as a matter of fact, the Tatis two-run homer was really all they needed ultimately, because the Braves were hitless with runners in scoring position and couldn't find a way to get it done. You know, I have, you know, talked about Ozzie Albies coming back and maybe asking a lot out of him in the two spot. He shut me up in game one of that doubleheader against the Mets for sure. It's in there. He has the ability to do that. About the only move he could make is to bump Soler up to number two and maybe hit Ozzie in the five spot of the order. But short of that, you got who you got, and the guys that you don't have that aren't available aren't walking through that door, and you kind of have to make do with what they have been doing, and that's try to find it from maybe some unlikely sources at times, but you've got to have the Matt Olsons and the Marcelo Zunas do what they do in the middle of the order, because Michael Harris has been setting the table at the top for a while here.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Grant, we're not going to have a Chris Sale coming out of the coffin like the Undertaker and just coming back from the dead and stepping into it.
I'd take a headless Ned Stark at this point.
You do obviously expect a lot from Max Fried tonight, and you know, we talk about it possibly being his last start for the Braves. Hopefully, they can continue to go on and win a couple of games and move on from this series. But what do you make of the thought that this might be the last start you see Max Fried in a Braves uniform tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of the story of this game, and it's been the story, obviously, this year to varying degrees and kind of building to a crescendo at this point for Max Fried, who I do have a ton of respect for both what he's done for the Braves over the course of his 8 years here and, of course, the way that he has handled the issue of impending free agent. We've all seen and discussed ad nauseum, you know, the final curtain for Freddie Freeman and Dansby Swanson, and the, you know, long-term deals aren't given out to every player as much as you'd like to keep them all. Alex Anthopoulos has said, you know, you kind of have to make your decisions based on, you know, your best guess and your best homework. And I don't think that there is a case that Max Fried leaving makes the Braves a better club. I think we all know that. I'd love to see it, you know, work out where he can stick around. He enters free agency with a few other starting pitchers that should draw some interest, but I feel like, you know, depending on what maybe a Blake Snell gets, depending on what some of these other arms could end up, like, where is that market going to be set? And Max Fried, you know, where does he fit in with some other clubs that could be interested? And unlike a lot of people, I don't expect it to just be the Dodgers, by the way, because I don't know if you noticed, but they spent about $1 billion on two arms last year, one of whom who didn't throw a pitch this year but had a historic season and probably wins an MVP, who's in their plans next year. And they got Tyler Glasnow, and they got Yamamoto. So I don't know that Max Fried is necessarily going to L.A., and that's a fait accompli. But I'm interested to see how it all plays out. Would love to see him come back, but you'd love to see it even more. And Max Fried said this after his start against the Royals. Just go out there and continue the season so that he can make more starts for this club and they can do something special. And I think that has to be his primary focus, because he really put the free agency stuff away and put it to bed early in spring training. He said, look, I'm just not going to focus on that because it's not going to do me any good.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Grant, I'm not trying to push anybody at the door because I'm one of the biggest Brian Snitker supporters out there, but I do know that he won't be around for, you know, maybe more than 3 or 4 years, and he'll retire and kind of live the rest of his life because he's been a baseball lifer. The moment Eddie Perez had with Marcelo Zuna that, you know, ESPN caught and they talked about, I thought was amazing. I know Walt Weiss has been a guy, but is Eddie Perez the guy that maybe they might look to take over? He's been with the organization for a very long time.
He has, and he's taken some opportunities to manage in some of the foreign leagues over the winter to, you know, get a little bit of that under his belt. And I think he's been a candidate, or at least a person worth talking to for some other clubs over the years, but maybe surprisingly hasn't gotten a lot of that. And some of that might be on his own, and some of it might just be the fact that a lot of clubs, they know exactly who they want. They zero in on them very quickly, and they make these hires. But, yeah, I think Eddie Perez brings a lot to the coaching staff. He is a net positive for this organization in a ton of different ways, and that was just a good example that got caught on TV. But I feel like the Braves coaching staff at times, you know, you're going to catch flack when the team's not performing, because then it's the coach's fault. When they're all performing, well, the players are out there being stars and doing their thing, and I feel like that may or may not be fair, and that includes the manager. But criticism goes with the job. You know, that's the second guessing obviously comes with the job. And whatever Brian Snitker decides he wants to do, when he walks away from the game of baseball, he has literally and figuratively, from a coaching and managerial standpoint, done it all. And as I said, and will continue to say, he will leave the Braves a better place for having been here over the past five decades.
Grant, well said. Where can we find From the Diamond this week?
You'll find me on Saturday afternoon. Of course, we're waiting to see what the schedule for the postseason will look like for the Braves beyond that. But the plan is, I believe, about 4 to 6 on Saturday afternoon. And you can also find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts and on the Odyssey app.
Appreciate it, Grant.
Bam.
You'll have a great day.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.